Let us begin our class here this morning with a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Dear Lord, Father in heaven, indeed, we are so grateful for this another day that you have so mercifully allowed us to live. May it be, dear Lord, that this day be a good day for all of us, that you will bless us with your mercy and with your grace, that we will be living this day as we should to you. Help us, dear Lord, to dedicate our lives to your Son's memory of his volunteering to go to that cross, to suffer that anguish, and to die on that cross for us, that we would have a means to live with you forever in heaven. Dear Lord, I pray you open our eyes, open our ears, and to receive the lesson that I will present. And may it be, dear Lord, that we learn, that we be edified, and that we be willing and able to take the lessons we learn from your word out into the world and teach others, that they may be with you in heaven also. These things we pray in Jesus' name and amen. We're talking right now in our studies about edification, which is a process of building up. And we looked at several scriptures last week, like 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, which tells us that we are God's building. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, which tells us that everything we do while we are assembled ought to be done for building up, for edification. And I also mentioned that we are all part of a construction company as a construction crew building God's building. And to illustrate that process, I also told you that I was going to use a metaphoric analogy, that of building a skyscraper, which will become obvious to why I chose that a little while later. Before I begin, I would like to mention to everyone here that, as you can see, my foot is feeling a lot better. I'm able to stand on it and move on it, and everything's fine. And I'm very grateful for all your prayers and all your caring, because I know a lot of people have asked about how I was feeling. But this morning, hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to begin to put our individual expertise to use in preaching, teaching, serving, exhorting, admonishing, to begin to use these things in building our building. Turn, if you will, to Romans, the 14th chapter there. No, Romans 12, excuse me. Romans 12, We're going to look there at verses 4 through 8. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we through many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." We don't all have the same job. Some of us are electricians, some of us are masons, some of us are carpenters, some of us are just helpers. We're just there to help with the whole of it. I know, because when I was in construction, I was unroofing. And what we did was, we did the sheet metal roofs, okay? We put sheet metal on top of the roofs. And I remember I had to drive the forklift, and I had to hand up the sheet metal to the people that were screwing it into the roof. I had to do a very sad job. I'm telling you, it was something else. I had to walk around the building and had to pick up little screws and nuts and nails and little things like that so that people wouldn't drive over and get a flat tire. So those are just things I did. Those were things that we helped out with one another. We all got together and we all did things together and we all got it done. So this is what we have to do. We have to help one another in doing this building operation. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Another verse of scripture that gives us an insight into this very same thing. 1 Corinthians 12, starting there in verse 12. We'll read all the way through verse 31. There it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, through many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized in one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'I am not,' because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on these parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts, are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to that part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Here we see, as I was telling you, we all have different jobs to do. And it all goes towards building ourselves up in Christ. In addition to this, let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Go ahead.
Particularly in the context of 1 Corinthians, you know, when we're talking about building ourselves up, you know, and this is what you're talking about, we've got to remember that we are working to build us up, meaning the body, the church. And like we see in Corinth, it can be really easy to take this kind of thing and turn it, like, kind of pervert the idea of education, where instead of it being about building the body up, it's about building me up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's something we got to be careful about.
We got to think more in terms of, and that's a good point. That reminds me, when I was in military school, one of the things we had to learn, and this is part and parcel all about the military. This is what happens, and this goes along with what we're saying, is that when you go into the military, the first thing they try to do is break you down. They break you down from your individuality and me, 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 and turn you into more of a person who thinks of a unit, the whole unit that you belong to. When you're out there on the battlefield, and there were all the bullets are flying, that's when you turn and you become very close to the guy that's right next to you. No matter who it is or what he is, doesn't matter. He's there to protect you and you're there to protect him. And it becomes a very highly, the camaraderie there is just to the max. I mean, you look out for one another. You're put in a situation where you've got to. You depend on one another. And that's what we have to do, and that's what the Bible is telling us to do, is to turn to one another. Because, as we read already, it is a lot of sin out there in the world. It is terrible out there in the world. We need one another to help support ourselves together so we can go out there and face the world and not be tempted. And not be turned into sin and false doctrine and all kinds of other things. I mean, this is what we're here for. This is what it's all about. So, yeah, good point, Taylor. Let's turn in our books to Ephesians 4, more along the same line. I want to read there from chapter 4 and verse 11. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a couple of things there I want you to know. It says, as Caleb pointed out, and as I'm trying to impress upon you, is we use the knowledge of the Son of God, okay? We use that to prompt ourselves upwards to mature manhood. We're trying to grow up. That's what we're trying to do. Grow up unto mature manhood. But watch. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It did not say the fullness of Christ. Got it? It said to the measure of the stature. In other words, we're not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have problems. We can't be like Christ to the point to where we're just as sinless as He is. But we can mature to a grown manhood of a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, it goes on, it says, so the end result is that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And how, what we say we're equipped with? The Word of God, right? That's our equipment. That's what we use to build with. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up, edifies itself in love. This is our goal, to be edified all the way up unto mature adulthood. So, by these means and through this process, we will now start putting it all together. It's like Will Scott used to always say, let's get to work. Turn to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. I want to read there verses 12 through 16. Paul's writing here about self. But we can see, take something from this to apply to us. He says, not that I have already attained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So, here we're told, let's press on, building ourselves up, 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 to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Building God's building, God's skyscraper. Using the materials of Scripture trucked into the sight by the Holy Spirit. We start from the foundation. This is where we start. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone and foundation for all of us. On the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And we build. We build. Each floor. Watch this. Each floor. Up. Up. Keep going. We build. And we build. And we build. Up. 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 And man. You know, there's always one in the crowd. He's got to get out here and do his own thing. You know. Man, sometimes, you know, you got to put up with it. Oh, hi guys, how y'all doing? I'm not out there. I'm trying to help y'all. I'm in this with y'all together now. Mine may look a little kind of funky, but I'm sorry about that. The way I do things may be a little bit different. But we're all in this together. And we're all trying to build a building together. And we keep building up. Keep going up until we get to that top floor. Watch this. It's the reason why I want to see this. That top floor where you can step off the balcony into our eternal home in heaven. You see that? That's what we're working for. That's what we're all here for. That's the end result. We keep building ourselves up until that time. We are here to help one another build our way until we get to heaven. That's the end result. That's where we're all trying to get to. Him.
Maybe think of the reading that you just did from Ephesians, talking about how what we're growing up to is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that if you're looking at this, you've got Christ as the foundation, and you also have Christ at the pinnacle.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, a sandwich effect on both ends. So we're trying to fill in what's in between. And that's our growth process. We want to get to this point. That's where we're all heading towards. Now, you don't think so? You don't think that? Well, here's where I'm going to turn some on you. Turn to Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Start reading there in verse 1. It says, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found the plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed on the face of the whole entire earth. That sets up the very crux of what we're going to be looking at from this point on. Here's what I want you to see. Where have you seen that before? Right? Here's what we need to see. One, right there in Genesis 11. Handmade. Man constructed. God made. Here, on this side, get another. Worldly. Material, physical. Over here, heavenly and spiritual. Total contrast, total opposite. This one over here. This one over here. What I want us to know, what I want us to see, is the answer to a question. Which one are we building? Which one are we building? That's going to be the big question we're going to have to answer through these series of lessons. I said it first. I'm just laying down baselines, down the bottom. We'll take this on. This is going somewhere later. But what I want you to see from what I taught you today about building God's building, is the building we're building this one, or the building we're building like that one? And that's the question we have to answer. Caleb?
Yeah, this also kind of lays out the terms of spiritual warfare, right? Like that you've got, not just what we are trying to do as the church, trying to build up the body of Christ, but there's a competing body out there that is also engaging in some building.
Oh boy, are they building.
And that's basically the terms of the conflict that you read about in Scripture.
What concerns me is the fact that, as it says, we can go to Ephesians. Second Corinthians. This is something that's very important. I think we need to look at this. Starting there, verse 12 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 12. I didn't have this down on my lesson, but I think this is something important for us to look at. And what am I doing? I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan himself, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, their end will correspond to their deeds. This is something we have to understand, and this goes. We see the obvious out here in the world. We know what that is. We hear it on the radio and the TV all the time. That's not something else. We know about that. It's the deception. It's the ones that are parading themselves as being Christians, as being members of the church, who are Bible knowledgeable, and they are teaching truth and everything. That is the group that is so, they get to us. I mean, that's the one that just, we have problems trying to deal with. And we deal with them all the time. It's a problem, we can't tell the difference between that which is false and that which is true. And when these kind of, do that kind of number, but there's no real, it's not an obvious division. That's where we got to really watch out. That's where we really got to be very careful. I want us to also go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Starting there, just verse 1, okay? Therefore, he says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We have to move on, and this is what we're trying to do. Move on up. Go on to maturity. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 13. And this will be the final scripture we'll look at. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. There's a difference. There's an indicator right there, the difference between those who fall and those who remain. for we have believed, enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in that passage he says, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken to another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for his people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. This is our goal that we have to work for, is entering God's rest. We punched the clock when we were baptized. We punched the clock when we were baptized. And we're on the clock right now. Are we working? Are we doing our jobs? Are we filling the fullness of Christ? Are we working up towards maturity? That's all I've got on this lesson today. And I hope that you'll take it with you and learn about it and put it to use in your lives. I have had a lot of good things to say about you because you show care, you show interest, you show working. You just give off the aura of I want to do this, I want to get this done. And what I'm trying to do in laying down these basics is to edify you, build you up, admonish you to keep going, and to exhort you because you're a great crowd. And so I want to leave this day's lesson with the exhortation, let's keep working, let's keep going. What I want us to do, if you don't mind, wants to turn our hymnals. Turn our hymnals to Psalm 590. Turn to Psalm 590 there. Last minutes here. He wants to sing this song. Okay? Psalm 590. We'll work till Jesus comes. What's that? I think I got it. I'm just going to make it up. We're going with it. O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. No tranquil joys on earth I know, peaceful sheltering dome. This world a wilderness of woe, this world is not my home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. I saw that was my Savior's side no more. My steps shall walk on with him. I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. Thank you a lot, and I appreciate that. I thank you for being here, and hopefully we'll all meet again at the next point in time to hear another lesson that we will start on Thursday evening. Thanks again. Take care.